Thanks for listening to the Voice Ministries podcast. To get more information about Voice, or if you are blessed by this message and want to sow into our ministry, go to our website at voiceministries.com.
Holy Spirit, just use me as a vessel to speak forth your word and bring the conviction that's necessary for us to go deeper in a passionate relationship with you, to know you in such a way that we can respond to every circumstance in our life based on who you are in us and who we are in you. I just thank you, God, for those that are gathered here tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, where I'm going tonight might even seem to be a little challenging, and it might possibly cause you to kind of drift off or, man, I've heard this spoken before. But this word tonight, I've just begun to look at it and try to take time and meditate on it. And I believe it's so powerful that it can change addictions in people's lives. And what I mean by that is it has everything to do with the words that we speak. And the words can be either life-giving or they can be death. And we've heard that message and we know the scripture in Proverbs 18:21. And I'll read that to you right now. You might have it on the screen. It says, death and life are in the power of the what? The tongue. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. And my heart is always to encourage you to turn your heart toward God with everything that you have, to draw closer to Him, to be more passionate about your time with Him and intimacy with Him. And to me, on a journey for a number of years, I can tell you this, that the answer in my life to be able to walk closer to God is my intimacy with Christ and how I spend time with Him, how I get to know Him. But the reason that I'm speaking about this tonight, about the tongue, is because this is an area that I struggle in. This is an area that sometimes we think, oh, you know, terrible things. Just words that are definitely not even in alignment with God's truth. You know, there's two trees in the garden. There's the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and then there's the tree of life. And what we do many times is we mix and mingle the tree of the knowledge of good and evil with how we walk out our lives in God. And really, we should always walk from a perspective of being grafted into the tree of life, which is Jesus. Being grafted into His word and what He says and His truth and applying it to our life. So I hope that tonight that your hearts are turned a little bit more toward the Lord and you find some help in the things that I'm going to talk about tonight. It's impossible to turn to Him in the fullness of fellowship of the Holy Spirit if you have not gotten a handle on the words that you speak and the things that you say that come out of your mouth. Because when you speak negativity, when you speak anything that's not of a good nature, of a holy place, of a good place, when you speak that, what you're doing is you're opening up yourself to traffic negativity and darkness in your life. That's a pretty powerful statement. But when you don't speak words of truth and you speak words that hurt and corrupt and negative things, sometimes just simple little words, somebody that you don't care for, and so you say things behind their back or you say this or that, those words traffic things within your life. It says again, death and life are in the power of the tongue. And so the Goliath that I want to talk about tonight is this little member. The Goliath many times in our life is the words that we speak. What comes forth from the tongue. You can see it in media all the time. You can see when people are really get themselves in a lot of trouble because of the words that they speak. And so when we don't take a real honest look at our vocabulary and the things we say, and we just kind of think, okay, well, I'm saved. That's good, you know, and that's great that you're saved. But if you want to fellowship, listen, fellowship in the Holy Spirit and grow in the depths of God, that means the words that you speak have everything to do with your fellowship with God. You'll see in a minute in the scripture that if you say things that are not of the Holy Spirit or not of good, and you begin to traffic in those areas, what happens is you begin, it says in the scripture, you quench the Holy Spirit. And I can tell you this very strongly, that it is really hard to get up here and speak a word to you when I've quenched the Holy Spirit an hour before I got up here because of the words that came out of my mouth. even if I'm called to speak or called to worship, and I want to worship and lead worship, and all of a sudden, because of the things that come out of my mouth, I quench the movement of the Holy Spirit in my life. And so when I go to worship, now how am I supposed to touch heaven and move us into that place of worship if I just quenched it by the things that I've spoken out of my mouth? You see, this is a Goliath in our mouth. This is a Goliath that is really hindering the body of believers. It causes division. It causes separation. It causes a lack of unity. It is the power of the tongue, of the things that we speak forth. And, you know, if you just don't like somebody or they bother you because, you know, let's just say, let's just use this as an analogy. Let's say you're on a worship team and, man, you like everybody on the worship team, but there's just this one singer that really bothers you. And so you complain about that singer. You say they do it this way, they do it that way. Now you're beginning to traffic this negativity by the things that you speak toward that individual. And now you've quenched the Holy Spirit to even move forward. Some of you may say, that's a little strong. No, the tongue is a little strong. The tongue can set things ablaze. It says it sets the fires of hell into motion. That's what the tongue does. That's what the scripture says. Your tongue can be this little kindling fire, this little word that you speak, and you burn up 1,000 acres because of this one little word that begins to affect everybody around you. And so I'm trying to encourage you and challenge you that if you want to go deeper and you want to be wholehearted to the things of God, you have to begin in the area of the things that you say and the things you allow to proceed forth from your mouth. What does the scripture say? It says, out of the heart, what? The mouth speaks. And so what happens is you can corrupt your heart. You can corrupt this heart. Your heart is the essence of who you are, your spirit woman or your spirit man of who you are. And you can corrupt that by the things that you say, little things. And some people think, well, you know, I didn't say anything that bad. And it's these little foxes that you begin to say these little things. And they begin to tear at the fiber of your fellowship with God. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. And this is huge. And that's why if we want to create a spiritual atmosphere that we can grow and go deep in the ways of God, we have to begin to steward the things that we say and the things that we share and the things that are behind closed doors. People used to say, well, you know, if I go home and I complain to my wife or to my husband, you know, that's okay. No, it's not. Not at all. Now what you've just done is you've created a bad atmosphere in your home where God should what? Reside. And the Holy Spirit should be there. Well, I was just on a conversation. Nobody really heard. I was on the phone. It creates a bad atmosphere where the Holy Spirit cannot have its way. Do you follow me so far? I mean, this is a big thing. But a lot of people just kind of blow this off because, well, I'm just human. No, I want to encourage you. Bring it under that subjection to the Holy Spirit and begin to start speaking life in situations and to people. And watch what begins to change in you and around you in your environment. Now, this is a big one. This is Colossians 4:6. It says, let your speech always be with grace. Now, that word always, can't get away from that one. Didn't say sometime, did it? It said, let your speech, okay, brother, sister in Christ, let your speech, what? Always. Always. That's powerful to me when I read that. It's like, always be with grace. Season with salt that you may know how you ought to answer each one. Your speech, even if you don't agree with someone, it needs to be nice things that you say. Not being phony, but being real by the Holy Spirit, allowing it to convict you and bring you into that place. And here's another thing. Think about this. When I said about the tree of knowledge of good and evil, sometimes if we speak half-truths and they're not really real truths based on the Word of God, again, we've come in agreement with the non-truth. That's what your tongue can do. It can bring other people into agreement. That's pretty powerful. Remember the scripture, I'm going to share it here just in a minute, when it says, when you teach, you're going to be under a greater judgment. When you share something, It better be, no, you better know that it's of the truth of the Word of God and it lines up with the Word of God. It means a lot. It's huge. There's another scripture in Matthew. Of course, this is at the core of the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus is speaking. It says, bless those who curse you. Pray for those who spitefully use you. That is really hard. But the Lord's saying, if you want to be blessed, if you want to walk in freedom, if you want to have joy in your life, you've got to begin to allow your tongue to speak blessing on those who hurt you. And you just don't say, you know, bless them, Lord, and, you know, I just want you to bless them. And then in the next breath, you know, they really shouldn't have done that to me. That was terrible. I just can't believe anybody would do that. Can you believe that? And you draw that person into it, and you just took away that blessing. But if you really want to walk in the fullness of God, then you begin to bless them. And here's another one, Romans 12, 10 through 14. You won't have that scripture. I don't think I put that one up there. It says, in honor, giving preference to one another, bless and do not curse. Bless and do not curse. Always speak grace. 1 Corinthians 4, 12, it says, being reviled, we bless. Being persecuted, we endure. Now, the reason that I want to kind of bring this up before you is that this is an area that I do violate. You know why? Because when I get frustrated about something, all of a sudden that frustration boils over and I say something, and that frustration can also pop into what? Anger. And then there I am. Now, I'm not saying that when I do that, all of a sudden now I got a demon in me. I'm not saying that, but I'm saying this, that when I do that, I'm trafficking darkness. Because I'm not subjecting, I'm not dying to self, picking up my cross and following after Christ. I'm beginning to respond through frustration. And so God's saying, you really want to walk this out, then every day cultivate a lifestyle that speaks life into people. Ask the Holy Spirit to help you. And you know what's the quickest way to enter out of that place of speaking negativity? And we'll do this at the end. It's through confession. That you confess to the Lord and you just tell him, I'm struggling in this area. He will forgive you and he will begin to help you. The tongue, the things we say, the little things we say, the foxes that begin to hinder us. And again, this says, and I'm going to read this in the scripture, the most common way to grieve the Holy Spirit, the most common way to grieve the Holy Spirit that lives within you is by your words. Now, when he is grieved, he still loves us. He still loves us. It's not that he rejects us. But now you can't have the fellowship. Now, this is a biggie. You might want to write this one down. When we grieve him, we cannot receive from him and participate in the same measure when we're in fellowship with the Holy Spirit. Did you follow me on that? If you're hungry, if you want to do that, if you want to walk and live by the Spirit, and you want to fellowship by the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, then that means that the words we speak have everything to do with that. Opinions. Opinions are a big thing. Everyone has an opinion. Do you know that those opinions cannot line up with the truth of God, and your words can bring about division and disillusionment because of the things that you speak? This is a powerful statement. Let's go to, I gave you Ephesians 4, didn't I? Ephesians 4, 29 through 32, I think I did. Let's read this. Now, this is, Paul says this, and I want to know that there's always grace for us, but I really believe that we can conquer some of our communication from this day forward, that God can bring conviction and help to us. If I ask you the question, you don't have to raise your hand, how many of you in this room really want to fellowship with the Holy Spirit, hear God, move in the things and destiny and purpose? You know Jeremiah 29, he has plans and purposes for you. You want to do that. And all of you would probably raise your hand. I want to walk in my destiny. I want to fulfill my destiny, my calling, my purpose before I meet him face to face. And I'm telling you that one of the biggest things that will hinder you, now you might not believe me, but one of the biggest things that will hinder you from walking in your destiny and purpose is not the devil himself. It's your tongue. It's your words. Because your words are going to speak life to the vision and calling that God has for you, or they're going to speak death to it, and they're going to hinder it. And it's never over. It's never over. How many of you know that when you come before the Lord with a sincere heart, you can hit the delete button and everything is deleted and he starts you over again and you can move forward in him? See, I'm praying that through the power of the Holy Spirit that there will be such a supernatural excitement in God's people just about knowing Jesus and loving him and being close to him. Not displays of hype or displays of just, you know, look at me, I'm loving God. No, I'm talking about a genuine move of God's Spirit across this land. That's what I'm believing for. Like, I want to live passionately for Jesus and be on fire for him. I don't want to just go through the motions. I've fought a lot of battles just like you have. But you know why I keep going is because I keep saying yes, and I know that it's never over. I know that I'm more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus, and I know that greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. I know that. And I know that it isn't over. And when people, again, might speak negativity, when you're fellowshipping with the Lord and you're praying blessing over people that even have done harm to you, and you begin to walk in that, you have such a place of peace and authority to walk in and joy to walk in. Because things around us, Michael Johnson and I were talking about this week, and we're going to talk, I think this Sunday morning, one of our topics this Sunday morning, even here. And if you don't go here, you know, go to your church. I'm not asking you to come to our church. But one of the things we're going to talk about is a little bit about racism and just about how it's affecting us and how there's a whole culture, a generation of older people that still seem to find this to be part of their language or their tongue. And then you talk to younger people in a younger generation, they don't even know what you're talking about. And it's just not on one side, it's every side. And then I have such a story because when I went to Rwanda and saw what the Hutus and the Tutsis did to each other, and that 10,000 people a day were mass murdered in a genocide in Rwanda, and they were all black, I realized that racism isn't about color. It's about a deep-seated hatred. And guess what it was all about? It was about pride and arrogance and how a people had been put down for years and they weren't going to take it anymore. Where did that all derive from? It derived from evil, no doubt, but it derived from the words that were spoken down to people continuously. And God wants us to come out of that, not be caught in that. Okay, back to Ephesians 4, 29 through 32. Here we go. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth. Okay, when you read that, you're going, oh, corrupt word. That's something really nasty, isn't it? Really bad? No. A corrupt word out of my mouth is a time of frustration, and I scream or I get really frustrated with my voice. That's a corrupt word. I just didn't speak life to them. I just unloaded on them. It's a corrupt word. You may say, well, that's not. Yeah, there are corrupt words, you know, using a whole bunch of vulgarity and cussing. There's all that. But just a corrupt word, a negative thing spoken. But what is good for necessary edification? That it may impart grace to the hearers. Now look at, here's that thing that I was talking about, guys. Look right here. Verse 30. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit. That's talking about verse 29. It's saying, but what is good for necessary edification that it may impart grace to hearers? Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit. It's speaking about what it just got through saying. You grieve the Holy Spirit when you speak corrupt things. Verse 31, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you. Put away from you with all malice. 32, and be kind to one another. Here it is. Be kind. That person that really, okay, I don't want to draw you into a place where that, you know, who's the person that bugs you the most, you know? You need to think about that person. And you know what God wants you to do to that person that bugs you? Wants you to be kind to them. Tenderhearted to them. Well, I guess I'll try. Okay, that's fine. But if you just try and you don't really ask God to help you, what are you doing? You're grieving the Holy Spirit. Really? Yeah, that's what the Word's saying. Are you kidding me? Does a tongue really have that much impact and power? We're going to read about it here just in a minute, but it does. So it says, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. You got to forgive each other. Okay, here's the biggie. This is always gets me. This has been my line right here. Just as God in Christ forgave you, think of all that he's forgiven you of. And you mean to tell me that we can't administer that to other people and give them some slack and give them some grace and give them some mercy? Because grace and mercy is working within us. And to forgive them and love them? Wow. I know Penny's going to amen me, but you got to say amen or something out there. This tongue thing is huge. And if we can get a handle on it, just don't fall asleep with it. Get excited. Are you kidding me? Man, I'm going to start on this thing right away. I'm going to really challenge myself and ask the Holy Spirit to help me about the words that I speak and the blessings I speak. And again, I'm sharing this with you guys because this is a frustration. This is something I'm working through. You know what I mean? I want this out of my life. I want to be able to think blessing and do that to others. And I want to fellowship with the Holy Spirit. I don't want to quench the Holy Spirit because of words that come out of my mouth. And of course, I can ask God to forgive me, and he will forgive me and get me right back on track. Of course. But wow, what if I begin to really get into a place of discipline with the things that I say and the life that I speak? Wow. Again, when we talk, we open up our hearts to negativity or positiveness. And again, I don't want to belabor this fact, but I want you to know that when you speak negativity, when you speak negative things, you begin to get the attention of darkness and you traffic it. I'm not saying you're possessed by it, but begins to attract to somebody that's putting somebody else down. That's biblical. You can check me out. Hey, matter of fact, I want you to check me out on everything I say. That's what the Lord wants you to do. Paul called us to imitate God by walking in the love of God and allowing God's love to purify our speech. Now we're going to go on to Ephesians 5, 1 through 6. I might even go farther than that. But if there's not really a break in here in chapters, I mean in the words of Ephesians 4, 29, 32, if there wasn't a chapter, this would be the next verse. So after we just got through sharing, just as God in Christ forgave you, he says, Paul says this, be imitators of God and walk in love. How do you walk in love? It all goes back to the words that you speak. That's what's happening here. It's the things that proceed out of your mouth. How do you walk in love? You speak love. You speak blessing. You speak positive things to people and encourage them. Imitators of God and walk in love. And then it goes in these wild addictions and sins. It says fornication and all uncleanliness or covetousness. Let it not even be named among you. And then look at these big ones. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking or coarse jesting. All of those things that have everything to do with the tongue are also connected to physical addictions. You want to break physical addictions. It has a lot to do with your tongue. You begin to say something or say things or even allow coarse jesting about or joking about some sexual things, all of a sudden it reconnects you to something that you got victory over. Think about it. Study the scripture. Paul saying this is very important. Even your addictions have a lot to do with what proceeds from your mouth and the things that you speak. And it says, okay, foolish talking, nor coarse jesting. Again, you know, we may think sometimes that those are real heavy, bad things. Just simple things being said, making fun of individuals, saying this about them, that about them. It's wrong. It's not good. Oh, you can do it. You can be saved. But if you want to fellowship with the Holy Spirit and walk in the fullness of who you're called to be, God's saying, I want you to fellowship with me, and I want you to get control over your tongue. Then it says, which are not fitting, the scripture goes on, but rather giving thanks. What's it saying? Does that mean that, okay, since we don't do that stuff, now we just have a thank you Jesus party? No. It says giving thanks. You know what it's saying, giving thanks? Give thanks for that person. Because guess what? That person was created in the image of God just like you. So give thanks for them. Woo! Do you get that word? Give thanks for that individual and don't make fun of them and bless them. Give thanks. Let no one deceive you with empty words. There's another big one. Don't let anybody teach you things that aren't lining up with the Word of God. Don't let somebody give you a bunch of empty words that are opinions that they have, and they really don't line up with the Word of God. They're half-truths, or they're a good thing. Maybe they're a good thing, but they don't line up with the truth of the Word of God. For because of these things, the wrath, this is very powerful, the wrath of God comes upon the sons and daughters of disobedience. Ephesians 5, 1 through 6. Again, my outburst of frustration, it puts me in a bad proximity of my walk with God. Now I want to go on to James chapter 3, and this is the chapter that I really want you to look at. All right, James chapter 3, verses starting with verse 1. And again, the relationship, and I keep saying this, the relationship of our speech needs to really be a part of our entire life. Some people say, man, why did I end up here? And how come all these things haven't happened that I know God's called me to, and I know that I'm supposed to be doing this? And how about this? Well, maybe because you've trafficked for years and years and years negativity and a critical spirit and criticizing people and always judging people. And God's saying he wants you to bring it to him, confess it, get rid of it, and walk in the fulfillment of who you are. Amen. Just because of the words you speak.
That's right.
And you say, well, that's, I don't know. Read what the word is saying. Read of what Paul is speaking to us. You know, here's another thing that happens in our speech. Sometimes when we get blessed of God, when we have experiences with God, then all of a sudden now we're an authority in an area. And pride gets right in there, and we're telling everybody, this is how it's done. Can I tell you that? That's unwholesome talk. Because you're exalting yourself, and you're not humble. The way to God's heart is through absolute humility and brokenness. He says he will exalt the humble, and he's going to bring down the prideful words of people, the power of the tongue. Okay, James chapter 3, it says, my brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment. For we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is perfect, or that word is mature. And so it's there it is, stumble in word, and it's speaking about in the words that we speak. Not so much the word of God, of course that too, but it's speaking about the words that we speak. And let us become perfect. That's a powerful word. And look what follows after that. He is a perfect man or woman, able also to do what? Bridle the whole body. And we're about ready to read about a bit in the mouth that bridles a horse, all the raging power of a horse just in their mouth by the power of the tongue. And it's saying, bridle the whole body. This is why I'm even saying physical addictions are connected to our tongue, the words that we say about others. And it says here in the scripture in just a few moments, the fire of hell is loose through our speech. And if you see James teaches that if we focus on our speech, we can control also, listen, our physical appetites. We can control our physical appetites if we focus on the words that we speak. And James gives us helpful insights to overcoming addictions in the scripture. I won't go into them. I want to spend more time in them and talk to you a little bit more about them. Wrong speech can keep you in a vicious cycle of addiction. You should know the truth. The truth will set you free. You can get set. You know how many people I've counseled and I've watched Jesus come in and set that individual completely free? And all of a sudden they start trafficking what? They start trafficking in conversation with other people that was a part of their life. And the next thing you know, they're back into what they were. There's no more freedom. How did that happen? Through the tongue, through talking, through fellowshipping in darkness and trafficking negative things again. And next thing you know, they're back in their addiction. You say, well, man, I can't run from it. It's everywhere, man. You hear it all the time. Yes. But when you fellowship with the Holy Spirit on a continual basis, now you don't grieve the Holy Spirit. You have power within that walk. And you can overcome that. And Christ wants you to overcome that. Many of our problems would be minimized if based upon our speech and the speech that we engage. So, you know, in order to be free, you have to have dialogue with the Holy Spirit. You quench the dialogue with the Holy Spirit when you speak negative things. I'm going to wind this up here in a minute. In the book of James, of course, it points out that, and basically it says this. It says that a lot of the lack of unity and a lot of what happens to the body of Christ sometimes is outside the classroom. Here we are in a little classroom learning some things about the tongue. And we can get right and we can confess and boom, we can be in that place. But what happens outside the classroom and even on the drive home? And that's why I'm asking God, help me to get over some of these frustrating times that I have because I don't say the right things. Now, I could sit up here and tell you, hey, my wife and I, we've been married 20 years and we have never had a blowout argument screaming at each other. You may think, oh, that's good. Guess what? I could use that and almost sound prideful, right? But I can tell you I've said wrong things to her that are just like a screaming argument. Do you get what I'm saying? Just because I feel like I've accomplished something there, I can have a wrong mindset toward my wife, and she doesn't even know it. And I can be saying things very loudly without speaking words, right? God wants to bring that into submission. Now we're going to get into the nitty-gritty of James. And he points this out, the issue of the tongue. And he uses these three metaphors, and they're pretty powerful. It's a bit, a rudder of a boat, and small fire. And he emphasizes hugely the truth that the tongue, as a small member of the body, is in key to controlling issues related to our body life, our life relationships, and everything else that we begin to walk through. And James reveals the vast power of the tongue. And think about it, in proportion to our body, how small our tongue is, but the power that it has and the frustration that we find in it. Okay, so James 3, verses 3 through 5. And here's the point. He says, indeed, we put bits in horses, mouths, that they may obey us. And it's again, it's emphasizing the tongue. And you think of the strength of a horse and how it can run. And you can turn that massive muscle body left or right based upon bridling the tongue of the mouth. And we turn the whole body, it says. And then it says, look also at ships, these ships. And what it's speaking about at that time, that, you know, the power of the wind in the sails of the ship. But underneath, there's that little rudder that's underneath. Although they are so large and are driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder, wherever the pilot desires. And then it goes on to say, even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. There's that prideful talk and boasting great things. It's this little thing, but it's talking about, oh, man, I did this and I did that, and this is where I'm at with God. Man, God, show me. Now, listen, I'm not saying it's not good to testify, because it is. But know that you're testifying. Check yourself in humility to encourage another brother or sister in their walk with God. Not you're trying to puff yourself up like you've arrived. Because I guarantee you, God's got a plan for those of you that think you have arrived. He's got a plan. He'll just yank you right back down. And you're going to say, why, Lord? And he'll say, because I love you. Because I love you. And I don't want you to be consumed by yourself. I want you to be full of me. I'm the greatest thing there is for you. And he is. When we think about it, Jesus is coming back. You know, when we die and go to heaven, Jesus is coming back to rule and reign on earth. And a lot of people don't understand that. And it's so clear. He's coming back to rule and reign on the earth. His new kingdom will be set forth here, the new Jerusalem, and his kingdom will come and his will be done. That's why he said, pray that prayer more than any other prayer. Because he knew the day was coming that he would return. He would take his bride, the body of Christ, for himself. And that we would rule and reign with him for all eternity. It says that when he sits on the throne in Jerusalem, that's why it's so powerful that we understand who the Israelites are and Israel is in this timepiece called the day that we're living in. And it says that he's going to come back and he's going to sit on his throne. It says rivers will flow out from his throne and it will reestablish the whole earth as it was in the garden. That's the Jesus. And he wants to be able to fellowship with us. And this little rudder called the tongue keeps us from that many times. Okay. What was the last thing I shared? Oh, okay. Verse 5. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a great forest a little fire kindles. 1,000 acres of land and a little fire started. And it burns up 1,000 acres of your life because of things that you've said. Things I've said. Now, I'm going to go as far as to say this. You might call me out on this one. I believe that the fellowship of the Holy Spirit in your life has a lot to do with your tongue. With what you say when no one's around. And all of us want to fellowship with the Holy Spirit more. It's real hard to get up here and give a message when I have not fellowshipped with the Holy Spirit and quenched it, and I've got to come up here and rely on some sort of ability or an anointing that's irrevocable, but it's so quenched because of the words that I speak. You follow what I'm saying, guys? Gals, I'm just wanting to encourage you for your own life, for your family, for your children, that you speak blessing, you speak life over them, and you continually do it. Maybe you don't get anything back, but that's okay. You keep doing it, and you keep praying, and you keep believing. So our tongue is divisive in the area of fellowshipping with the Holy Spirit. I believe that. Okay, verse 6. And here we go, and then we'll kind of close. It's 7:20, so I got a little more time here. And the tongue is a fire, and look at this, a world of iniquity. Oh, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles what? The whole body. Talk about physical addictions and different things. It defiles everything. Wow. And sets on fire the course of nature. And it is set on fire by hell. The fires of hell are kindled in the tongue. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and creature of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind, but no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil. Full of what? Deadly poison. With it, we bless our God and Father, and with it, we curse men and women who have been made in the similitude or the also the creation made in the image of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not be so. What if God shows up and he says, gosh, I just wanted the power to move in Michiana. I wanted the power to move through your family. I wanted you guys, man, I just wanted, you just don't know how much I wanted to see all these things. But you know what? I have this against you. You never really brought your tongue into submission. Every time, man, I wanted to move forward with you, you just kind of polluted the whole scene by the things that came out of your mouth. You know, I was thinking about this, and Denny Rogers, he's been really experiencing the Lord in the prayer room with others, and when we were having a meeting the other day, he said, I really hear the Lord saying, stop it, stop it, stop it. Stop doing all those things that hinder you from my love.
Stop playing church. Stop trying to perform. Love me. And then I started thinking about the seven churches in the book of Revelation. And how, you know, all them, God commended them. They were doing great things. And he said, but I have this against you. You've tolerated this. You've done this. You've left your first love. And David Raymer spoke on Sunday, and I loved his message because he spoke about the life of Daniel. And I started thinking about Daniel. Listen, guys, this is pretty powerful. Daniel lost his family. They all got killed. Daniel lost his city. Daniel lost the nation that he was a part of. And he was brought into captivity in Babylon under Nebuchadnezzar, an evil king. But yet Daniel, without the power of the Holy Spirit dwelling inside of him, moving around him, no doubt, but not inside of him, Daniel, he was faithful to God three times a day. And you know what he went through. You know the stories. And that's why he received a message for our generation. Because of his faithfulness. That's what God's asking. 1 Corinthians 3, 2 through 3, and I won't go any farther than this. It says this. It says, I feed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it. For you are still carnal. For where there is envy, strife, and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? Do you not know that you are the temple of God? If anyone defiles the temple of God, now we used to always say, you know, and I'll make this point, boy, if you smoke cigarettes, man, you're defiling that temple. Boy, that's bad. This is an old, you know, man, look at that temple being defiled. Guess what? You say one frustration thing about your brother or sister that is demeaning and bad, you just defiled the temple. Oh, but we want to hit those cigarettes pretty hard. It's just silly. I'm silly. I've thought things like that. I've said things like that. And God's saying, you know what, Bob? You want to fulfill this thing? Bring your tongue into that place of submission before me. Let me have my way with the things that come out of your mouth. And I'll fulfill this thing. Because you're grieving the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. And then it goes on to say, if anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him. For the temple of God is holy. Let no one deceive himself. If anyone among you seems to be wise in this age, let him become a fool. There's that thing. If you know, don't act like you know it all. Let him become a fool that he may become wise. And then it says in verse 8, it says, let us not commit sexual immorality. And then look what comes right after it. Here's the tongue again, sexual immorality. And then it says, nor complain. Oh, you mean complaining's right up with sexual immorality? That's what I read. As some of them also complained and were destroyed by the destroyer. Now all these things happen to them as examples. Let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. James 5, 8 through 9, it says, you be patient. And this is what it says to you and to me. And again, this is a real positive message. You're going, oh, I'd hate to hear one of your negative ones. You know, this is a positive message because this is what God is saying. He said, Holy Spirit said, I want a fellowship with you. So allow me to deal with that little rudder. Let me deal with that little tongue there. Okay, that fire. Let me deal with that fire. James 4, 10 through 11, it says, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. Do not speak evil of one another, brethren. He who speaks evil of a brother and judges his brother speaks evil of the law and judges the law. Why don't you go ahead and stand? And I'm just going to pray. I hope that, take time to read James chapter 3. And I don't know what the Lord's saying to you, but I was kind of feeling like, you know, we can drive this stuff away just by confession. And so I just want us to pray. And if you even, I tell you what we're going to do. Let's just bow our heads and close our eyes for a minute. And let's ask the Holy Spirit to just help us and lead us. I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit right now to just Bring that one person up in your life that annoys you. Right now. Or that bothers you. And I want you to just give them to the Lord and be thankful for who they are and that God loves them. And just ask the Lord to forgive you for the words that you've spoken. Even now in this moment, confession right now. Just confess to the Lord that, you know, I haven't always said the right things. I'm asking you to forgive me and to help me bring my tongue in submission. And it will shut out the darkness. It will drive it away. Holy Spirit, just come and help us this evening. That we would be men and women of your heart. That we would be ones who would speak life in death situations. We ask for your forgiveness right now, Lord. Forgive me of where I've said things to my wife and my children and to others, or behind the scenes and haven't spoken life over people. Forgive me, Jesus. I receive your forgiveness tonight. You just say your own prayer, however you want to say it, inside your heart, or just make things right now. Holy Spirit, help us. Draw this into remembrance tonight and in the morning. And may it become a principle of truth and a lifestyle in us. That we are life speakers. Help us even those little things we say and we mix truths. Just thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I love saying this prayer every once in a while. It's the Our Father. Let's say it together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Go in peace and have a great evening. And why don't you read James chapter 3 tomorrow? Spend some time in it. Ask the Lord to reveal more. He'll give you more stuff on it than you just got from me. So God bless you and go in peace.